But let me say a prayer for us. Father, we thank you so much for this time. We pray, Lord, that as we think about the Gospel of Luke, as we look at that, that you would speak to us, Father, that we could see, Lord, you as this perfect healer, Lord, not of the body, but of the soul. And I pray, Lord, that the wounds that we carry here today, the hurts, the hang-ups, the baggage, that, Father, I pray your spirit could be at work and meet each of us, and I pray we could leave here more healed than we came in. And Father, I pray that that could give us a deeper certainty about you. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we are going through the Gospel of Luke as we build up to Easter. And Luke says that he wrote these accounts about Jesus, that he did his homework and he talked to eyewitnesses and he put it all together, but he did it so that we would have more certainty about who Jesus is, that he's real, that what Luke records is true, and that knowing him just radically transforms everything about our lives. So we've been looking through it, and today we're going to continue that. And when I was thinking about what we're going to talk about today, we just had St. Paddy's Day. Remember that? Did you get a corned beef sandwich? Yeah. I love a good corned beef sandwich. And we unintentionally started a tradition with our kids last year. One of Allie's friends had come over and did like this leprechaun game on St. Paddy's Day where like the leprechaun leaves something and they have to find it, and they loved it. They loved it so much that weeks before St. Paddy's Day, they're like, "Mom, Dad, is the leprechaun coming again?" It's like they were anticipating it. And finally, like the night before St. Paddy's Day, I was like, "Babe, like we better do something because like they're jazzed about this. They are stoked." So that night, Allie set up a little display on the table with like some of their treats half eaten and their toys all messed up and a little note. And it was like this like mischievous, messy scene. And the next morning was St. Paddy's Day and I was showering, getting ready to go. And all of a sudden someone burst through the door and it was Emery. And she's like, "Dad, I have to tell you something. The leprechaun came." And they talked about it for a long time after that. They were so excited. But the reason they believed he came was because of the evidence on the table and the mess, and it was kind of a fun deal. So I think we're locked in now. I think it's kind of like the new Elf on the Shelf, I guess. And it was fun. But when we look at the Gospel of Luke, and we look at, in fact, all these biographies of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, and John, they all show one of the main evidences for Jesus as Savior is his ability to heal. When we read through Luke, and I'm gonna share some of those stories with you today, you will see that this is a big thing where they're saying, "Hey, you have to look at this and you have to think about this because this is one of the key pieces to understanding that Jesus is the Savior of the world." And what's so cool about this is that I believe that healing ministry has not stopped. But in fact, even today, people who encounter Jesus, things in their life end up getting healed. It's part of just what his presence always brings is healing. Now, this kind of can be a difficult thing to talk about a little bit because there can be a lot of things that we carry into this conversation. Like, and I've actually never preached a sermon on Jesus as a healer, but if you read the biographies of Jesus, it's all over them. But one of the reasons it's hard to talk about in our world is because there's a lot of weirdos in the world that do weird healing services. You know what I'm talking about? I don't want to throw out any names here on TV, but there's a lot of people who do absolutely bizarre things, and they make scams out of it, and they're creepy. And this is actually completely against what we see in the New Testament. In fact, many times, and we'll even see today, that Jesus heals someone and he says, don't tell anybody about this. It'll say, hey, just keep this between us, basically. In fact, in the chapter that we're going to read today, Luke chapter 5, Jesus heals a leper and he says, don't tell anyone. But then inevitably you say, don't tell anyone. And what do? They tell everybody. And so then people start coming to Jesus and Jesus withdraws from them. So Jesus never uses it to draw crowds, to make a show of it, to get anything from it. And so I know that happens in our world, but I just want you to know that's really contrary to what we see. Here's the second thing. I think it can be hard to wrestle with some of these stories, is that, you know, we think like we just have everything figured out because we're so scientific, right? And so we're like, oh, no, you know, just ibuprofen will do the trick there. And so we kind of think about the world only in those terms. But believe it or not, we don't have as much figured out as we claim to. You with me on this? And we can talk all about the philosophy of science, but I'm not going to torture you. I'm tempted to, but I'm not going to. But we don't have all the answers. And the quote-unquote laws of nature, number one, that presupposes that there is a lawgiver. But anyway, but the laws of nature are not nearly as hard and fast as, you know, we tend to think. And I bet in each of our lives, there have been experiences that have happened that maybe we wouldn't say, oh, that was a miracle, but we're like, I don't know what that was, but it wasn't what was expected. Anybody? I bet in all our lives, we could think about that. And that's significant. I remember, in fact, years ago, there was a woman in our small group, and she had come, and she was very upset, and she had just came from the doctor, and she said, they did some tests on my lungs, and my lungs were filled with, you know, tumors and stuff, and it looks really, really bad. She was pretty young. She's like late 30s, maybe early 40s. And she was very scared about this, very surprised, very overwhelmed. And I remember we just laid hands on her and we prayed. And it was like kind of a very moving time of prayer. Like I remember kind of almost like getting choked up. And, you know, I don't usually cry that much, but like I was there and it just was very moving. And that week she ended up going back and everything was completely clear. Now you can, you know, you could say, well, the tests were wrong. That was coincidence. I mean, maybe it was, but I do think God was at work in that moment. And I can tell you, I've experienced that in the life of our church. And I bet many of us have kind of similar stories. Now here's what I think is the most difficult thing to think about when we think about healing. Is probably all of us have prayed for someone to get healed, and they didn't. And all of us, maybe there's a loved one, there, and we're like, God, could you heal them? Could you be with them? And they didn't. And so it's like, well, is that real? Why does it seem to happen here sometimes and not? And there's a lot we could talk about it, but I just want you to know this, that the purpose of healing that we see in the ministry of Jesus is not to rid the world of every pain and every suffering. In fact, the purpose of healing in the Gospels is that Jesus is showing us who he is and what is to come. You see, he has a different aim. The thing that Christ is most interested in healing is your soul. And sometimes the struggles of our body enable a healthier soul. Or sometimes the purpose of God is being unfolded in a different way. And just what I really believe in my heart is like, man, when people are sick, I want to pray. I want to ask God to heal them physically. And I'm going to do that. I'm going to try and ask as boldly. But at the end of the day, I'm going to trust however he answers because I know his purpose is different than mine, but it's always good. And I know that might not be helpful in this moment, but I would encourage you to think about it. So today we're gonna talk about Jesus as a healer. And I think this is so important because, again, this was not ultimately about healing bodies. It's about healing souls. And life wounds our soul, doesn't it? We all come into this room with pain and hurts. You know, you ever like talk about something, you're like, hey, 20 years ago, someone said this. And you're like, but I'm over it, I'm fine. Well, we're talking about it 20 years late. You ever done that, right? You're like, what is that? That's an unhealed wound, amen? Right? And we have wounds that we self-impose, our disappointments in ourself, our shame. You know, you ever stay up at night and you're like remembering past things you did and you're just like, oh my gosh, what do I do? Or am I the only one? Okay, thank God. I really need to talk to some broken people today. Thank you. All right, we got one. Thank you, brother. Two, three. Can I get a fourth? No. All right. but we wound, and you know, we wound each other relationally, don't we, church? You know, sad but true. And there are some things we can fix in this life. My garage door broke the other day, and I fixed it. Thank you. Yeah. My wife was so impressed. She didn't say that, but I could tell by the look in her eye, you know? Brothers, you got to take what you can get. Amen? Yeah. He's like, I'll take that as you're impressed. There's some things that we can fix, very few things that I can fix, but there's a lot of things in us we can't fix. That's because we need Christ. Now, let's read this story for today. It's Luke chapter 5, and I'm going to start at verse 17. I wanted to read like this whole chapter to you, but this would be a really, really long sermon. I'm already going too long. All right, let's get into this. On one of those days, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him, look at that, to heal. So that's part of the evidence of Christ, his healing. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. Just that poor homeowner, man. You know, you invite Jesus over, you're like, this is going to be great. And you're like, oh, wow, I need a new roof now. And when he saw their faith, I love that line, when he saw their faith, whose faith? Well, the friends that were carrying this man, maybe the man, it's such a cool phrase. When he saw their faith, he said, man, your sins are forgiven you. And everybody's like, well, that's not why we came here. that's not what we need, Jesus. Jesus is like, no, that's actually exactly what you need. This is not about your body. This is about your soul. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Because if you're saying you can forgive sins, you're saying you're God. You're saying you're the one that has the right and the authority to forgive. That is a big claim. Who can forgive sins but God alone? When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, rise up, pick up your bed, and go home. And immediately he rose up before them, picked up what he had been lying on, went home glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, we have seen some extraordinary things today. I love that story. And obviously, this is a story about healing, but it's a healing that has a deeper purpose. And if you read all of Luke 5, there's two other healing stories before this. And kind of Luke is such a genius in how he writes this, but he's building up these ideas of how the presence of Christ heals us in all these different kinds of ways. And I want to tell you these stories. The first one, right before this, is where Jesus encounters Peter, who would later become one of his disciples. And Peter is a fisherman. That's what he does for a living. That's his job. And Jesus goes out with him onto a boat, and he teaches, and they're like, this is cool. And then Jesus tells Peter, he says, hey, let your net down. And Peter looks at him, and he's like, what do you know about fishing? And but he's like, all right, but whatever you say, I'll do. He's like, we've been trying, and this is not a honey hole. There's nothing here, you know, and it's not good. But Jesus says, let it down. So he lets down the net, and they get the biggest catch ever. And Peter is amazed. And he kneels before Jesus, and he says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Isn't that an interesting response? But what is happening in that moment? Peter is recognizing the greatness and the majesty of Jesus. And kind of when you're in that space, you know what it does? It kind of stirs up the sludge in your own soul. And you're kind of like, oh man, this is there's some real brokenness in me, you know? Like, you ever like go golfing with somebody and they're so good, and you're like, I'm never golfing again. You ever? Like you go golfing with Pat Behan. Where's he at? Yeah. Or Bob Vandermark, and you're like, I'm selling my clubs. I'm giving up. Or you go, you know, you play basketball and someone's so good and you're like, nope, never, I'm retiring. It's kind of that experience that when we encounter God, you actually see your brokenness in a deeper way. Because when you are in the presence of the holy, the majestic, then it stirs up how broken we really are. But here's then what happens. Peter says, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. And Jesus doesn't depart from him. Jesus stays right there. And Jesus says, Peter, I've got a mission for you. You are going to become a fisher of men. Come and follow me. And Peter leaves it all behind. The biggest catch of his life. Now, I know some fishermen. I know some in this church. That's a bit, they're leaving behind a lot. You know what I'm saying? But really, that's his business. That's his livelihood. That's money, that's security, that's all that. And he leaves it behind. Now, what was happening in this text? Here's what I would say. Jesus was healing Peter's relationship with himself. That Jesus was saying, look, you are broken, but I'm still inviting you to follow me. I remember there was a couple in our church, and they shared a bit of their story in marriage, the good times and the bad times. And they said at one time, things got so bad that they just like were at their wit's end. They didn't know what to do. Nothing was helping. They're just in a really, really bad spot. And they said that, you know, one day the wife was just kind of absolutely discouraged, laying in bed, just, you know, struggling. And the husband pulled up a chair next to the bed and said, I'm not going anywhere. And in that moment, it became a turning point. Because what was happening? It was saying, yeah, this is a mess. But I'm still here, and we're going to figure this out. And in some ways, I kind of see Jesus doing that to Peter. Peter, yeah, you are a sinful man, but I'm not going anywhere. And in fact, I'm inviting you into life with me. And what's cool is just in this story, you know, his real name is Simon, but Jesus gives him the name Peter. And in this moment, Luke calls him Simon Peter, But then through most of the rest of the gospel, he's just Peter after that because his identity's changed. The presence of Christ has healed something in the core of who he is. And the good news is, church, and Christ does that for each of us here today. And some of you know that. He stood before you and you felt the sludge in your soul. But then you also realize, yes, that's true, but his love is even greater than that. And it heals our soul, and it continues to heal our soul, doesn't it? I need those moments again and again and again in my life. Now then Luke tells a second story of healing. And this one is a leper. And he comes up to Jesus. Now, in the ancient world, leprosy was devastating, not just because of what it could do to you physically, but because of what it did to you socially and relationally. And in the times of Jesus, leprosy just kind of meant, it could mean all kinds of things. Things that was wrong with your skin. And because of that, you were cut off from community. You were considered unclean. And I mean, you talk about the cooties game. This is cooties to a level you've never seen, all right? And if anyone touched you, they had to go through a ceremonial process to become clean before they could interact with others and before they could go worship God in the temple or serve him. It was a big deal. And so this leper, so they're cut off from society. They're cut off from relationships. They're cut off from all this community that they desperately need. And this leper goes boldly to Jesus and he says this great line, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus says, "I am willing, be clean." And here's the best part. He reaches out and he touches him. Now, who knows when the last time this guy had any human contact? Who knows when the last time that anyone touched this man? Now, what we know about Jesus is Jesus can heal in any way he wants. There's times where he heals with a word. There's times where he doesn't even say anything. A centurion comes up and he's like, "Hey, my kid's sick." And Jesus is like, "Yeah, he's good now." Like, what happened? He can heal however he wants. He doesn't need to do that. But what is he doing? He's healing him relationally. He's bringing him back into community. He says, "Hey, be clean." And he is clean. And I think that one of the things that hurts our souls is that when our souls get unhealthy, kind of like the leper, we can drive ourselves away from people. And we can start to create a life that is isolated. But haven't you found in your life, and I've found in my life, that isolation actually makes us sicker? There was a woman many years ago that we helped as a church, and she was in a bad spot, and the church rallied behind and fixed her roof and like put a new carpeting. I mean, did like serious projects on her house. It was really, really cool. And the whole time we were doing this, this woman could not have been more nasty. So it was like the church was going all out, and then this, and it was kind of like a weird experience because you're like, "Whoa, lady," you know, it's kind of that old saying, "No good deed goes unpunished." That's what it felt like. But what, at first it, you know, took me back a minute, but then I realized, like, she's in so much pain. She's so afraid. She's been alone and isolated. Now there's people that are being insanely generous, and it's just kind of can't even handle it. But you know, I think that's a good picture of what isolation does to us. It makes us more afraid. It makes us more angry. It makes us more hopeless. And sometimes Christ needs to heal those relational wounds in our life. Sometimes some of us, we're carrying things that are creating walls from us and others. And Christ has come to heal those things. To break down those walls, Maybe some of us, like we have a desire to serve God, but there's something that keeps holding us back from it. And Christ is the one who can heal that. And Christ is the one we need to invite to heal that. And then this last story of healing is the paralytic. And here, Luke kind of culminates this. So it's a healing of oneself, it's a healing of community, and now it's a healing from sin, which whether we know it or not, is the greatest thing that we need healed from. And Christ is the one that can ultimately do this. Now, I just have to point out a couple things about this story that I love so much is I love this guy's friends. You know, those are some like ride or die friends right there. Like, dude, get on this mat. We'll carry you. I don't know if you've ever tried to carry someone on something like that. It's exhausting. Now, maybe they just lived right next door. I don't know. But I get the sense that it probably was a little bit of a journey here. And then, like, the boldness of that, you know? Like, hey, all right, we're not taking no for an answer. Like, there's no more room. Okay, we'll go upstairs. Okay, we can't really get in. Hey, that tile seems a little bit loose. Let's just start that. Anybody got a hammer? Like, come on, man. That's pretty wild. And I love that the friends carry him to Jesus. And I wonder if some of us in this room, I wonder if some of our friends have carried us to Jesus. Not on a mat, but they carried us in prayer. Some of you may know it, you may not know it, but maybe you're in this room because your family prayed for you and they carried you to Jesus. Some of us, maybe you're here and God's at work in your life because somebody carried you here. They invited you. They're like, I promise there's no snakes or scorpions there. It'll be fine. We only do that the last Sunday of the month. But people carried you. What a beautiful thing to do for someone. Amen. And look at that passage again. Jesus honors their faith. All their faith. You know, there might be some people in your life that you desperately want them to come to God. And you're like, I just can't do anything. I don't know. I'm at a loss. You can do something. You can carry them in prayer. And Christ will honor your faith for them. And that's a powerful thing. Maybe some of us, we've got family, we've got sons or daughters, and it churns your heart and your soul. You're like, man, I want them to know God, to love God, to serve God. I feel so helpless. Well, you can carry them in prayer. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it doesn't take some effort. It does. But Christ will honor your faith. And I want us to carry some people to Christ this Easter season. Palm Sunday, Pre-Easter, Easter. Here's what I'm gonna do both those Sundays. I'm gonna just share Christ, share the gospel in as clear and simple a way as I can. I'm just gonna try and just kind of speak very plainly and clearly about Jesus Christ, who he is, what he's done for us, and what that means for our life. And I want to encourage you to bring someone with you. Because who knows what Christ might do in their heart and in their life? We want to utilize these Sundays in the best way that we can. And let's carry some people to Christ. You know what I've seen every Easter? Christ reaches people every Easter. It's awesome. It's humbling. It's a joy. And the more that I find, the more that we try to carry people, Jesus says, hey, I see your faith, man, and I love it. I see it, and I'm going to honor it. And he does. So let's do that. And then Jesus says, hey, look, here's what your real issue is. Your real issue is your relationship with God. Your sins need forgiven. And Christ forgives them. Now, I love this story because where is like this man, where does he say the sinner's prayer? before his forgiveness, like we don't see any of that. Where does he like make this confession? There's none of it. What I think this shows us is Christ is so merciful. He responds to the lowest bar possible. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a great saying in AA that God does not make himself hard to be found. That's the story right here. The Lord's like, look, you just look my way. I'll take that as a yes. Even if your eyes are just slightly that direction, I'm going to take that as you saying you want me as my Lord and Savior. And I will respond. And he does, and he forgives it. And our souls can never be healthy without that. The very famous psychologist, Carl Jung, he said that if I could convince my patients that they were forgiven, I would lose half of them immediately. I bet it's more than that. Because our souls can never be healthy without that. So here's what I want to encourage you to do today. See, all the Gospels say, you will know Jesus has been around because people are getting healed. He's got a deeper aim with healing. It's not just the body. Sometimes it's our psychology, our sociology, our spiritual life, all those things. And I want you just to have a moment in prayer, and whatever needs healed in your life, whatever needs healed in my life, I want you just to just bring it to the Lord and say, Lord, would you bring healing in this area? But I want to ask you, though, to bring that with faith. To go to him and say, look, Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm not telling you how to do it. I'm not telling you what needs to be done, but I'm telling you this is painful in my life. And this is hard. And this is bigger than me. And I know you are the great healer. And I'm asking for your help. And you just bring that to him. Because here's what Luke wants us to know. He wants us to know Jesus is real. That his ministry still continues, that he's still working in our lives today, doing those same kinds of things in different ways. So let's pray. Let's ask him. Lord, we just acknowledge first and foremost that you are great, that your power, your uniqueness, your majesty is unlike any other. And that, Lord, only you can really bring the healing that our lives and this world actually needs. Father, there's help we can get around us, and that's great, but there's certain things that only you can do. And we look to you now, Lord. I pray, Father, that we could have evidence in our life that just builds a deeper trust that you really are the Savior of this world and of our lives. Pray, Lord, our hearts would long for it, hearts would trust for it, and our hearts would seek it. And we ask all this in the great name of Jesus. Amen.